This morning our scripture text can be found in the Gospel of Mark. We're looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Mark chapter 1, 29 through 39. It's on page number 1553 in your pew Bibles, I believe, if you want to turn to it there. Also, you have a green bulletin insert that gives you some sermon notes and outlines to fill in as we go along. But let's look together at the gospel text, Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. As I was preparing this morning's message, I was looking in our bulletin and I thought, boy, we have an awful lot of space on this bulletin. It seems like it's a waste of paper. There's all kinds of room left there in the margins. Do we really need empty spaces? Richard Svensson, Christian doctor and author and speaker, wrote a book called Margin, Restoring Emotional, Physical, Financial, and Time Resources in our lives. He noted that 43% of his book, which I commend to you, by the way, great book, Margin, 43% of his book on margin was margin. Seems like a waste. Could have saved 50 or 60 pages. A lot of money, saved trees if you just pushed out the margins to the edge of the paper. The problem is that most would find reading a book like that overwhelming and chaotic and probably not even read it. So we think this morning about the analogy of margins in our lives. Consider the cultural and societal problems of pushing life to the max, living life beyond our limits, no margins, emotionally, physically, financially, in our schedules of time, time management, marginless living. What a great concept. A few weeks ago, I started a series on building bigger hearts, and this series just seems to keep growing. As I was thinking about this, I remembered hearing Dr. Richard Svensson teaching and challenging pastors at a pastor's conference down at Sandy Cove Bible Conference. And he was teaching in a way that captivated my thinking. And I decided to come back and share this with you. I decided to go back and research again and remind myself. We talked about matters of the heart. We talked about how We need to grow bigger hearts in a society, in a culture, in a world that tends to drain our emotional resources, our heart capacity to love others and show compassion and kindness and love God with our whole hearts, worship Him wholeheartedly. I challenged all of us, including myself, to discover ways in which we can grow bigger hearts, more capacity for compassion and love and emotional resources, made me think of this theme. Key verses for building bigger hearts. You may remember 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers and sisters. Love one another deeply from the heart. And also Jesus saying that the greatest command, the greatest of all the commandments, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The only way that you can do that is that your heart is alive and growing and filled with the capacity to love. In a culture, in a society today where our hearts are dulled and deadened by all the stuff that comes at us, cramped, calloused hearts, shrinking, shriveling, the chaos of this world, we need to look to Jesus for the model of growing bigger hearts and how to live with margins that enables that. So let's look this morning at very practical, real biblical patterns from Jesus' example to restore margins and build bigger hearts. Let's think about establishing and maintaining margins in these various areas of our lives. I've talked about the overload syndrome. In fact, Richard Swenson wrote a book on that, entitled that, The Overload Syndrome, in which he defines margins according to this metaphor. He says margins are the difference between our load and our limits. Margins are the difference between our load and our limits. Or another way of putting it is margins, the amount allowed beyond that which is needed. Finances and time schedules, margin is the amount allowed beyond what is needed and necessary. Margin is something held in reserve for emergencies and unexpected crises that come our way. Let me illustrate this margin defined. Let's think about margins illustrated in our lives. Marginless living, according to Dr. Swenson in his book, is being 30 minutes late to the doctor's office because you were 20 minutes late getting out of the hairdressers, because you were 10 minutes late dropping the children off at school, because the car ran out of gas 2 blocks from the gas station and you forgot your purse. Ladies, presumably ladies. Anyhow, margin, on the other hand, is having breath left at the top of the staircase, money left at the end of the month, and sanity left at the end of adolescence. Great definition. Marginless is the baby crying as the doorbell is ringing and the phone ringing at the same time. Margin is grandmom taking the baby for the afternoon. Marginless is being asked to carry a load 5 pounds heavier than you can lift. Margin is a friend having a friend to carry half of the burden. Marginless is not having time to finish the book you're reading on stress. And margin is having time to read it twice. Marginless is fatigue. Margin is energy. Marginless is red ink. Margin is black ink. Marginless is hurry. Margin is calm. Marginless is anxiety. Margin is security. Marginless is culture. Margin is counterculture. Marginless is reality. Margin is remedy. Marginless is the disease of our generation. Margin is the cure. This all came home to me while I was on vacation a week and a half ago, Tuesday. While on vacation, I was driving 80 miles an hour across I-195 heading towards Marlton for my mother's birthday on Tuesday, and I was already late getting there for dinner time with her to take her to dinner because I had tried to shoehorn or squeeze in one last phone call, which put me behind schedule, and I was listening to a CD in the car, multitasking so that I could just make the most of the time, listening to a message on margins to prepare for this message because I didn't have time to reread his book, and I couldn't find it because there were too many books in front of my books on the bookshelves. And I thought, boy, do I need this message, right? I think we all do. We need margins. Margins can be defined by its opposites: overload and overwhelmed, everything while trying to be all things to all people all the time, all by yourself, right? Dr. Swenson lists 23 kinds of overload in our lives. See which one hits you the most. Overload in our lives: activity overload, change overload, choice overload. Just think about this. In our day and age, we have so many choices. I get a headache going down the cereal aisle in the supermarket. A generation ago, you only had four kinds of cereal to choose from: cornflakes, shredded wheat, Cheerios, and oatmeal, or whatever. Now you have 18 kinds of Cheerios. Jeez, I don't know. Maybe I should have prayed about this longer before coming to the store. Honey Nut Cheerios, or you get it. Man, choice overload, commitment overload, competition overload, debt, decision, education, expectation, fatigue, hurry, information, media, ministry, noise, people, pollution, possession, problem, technology, traffic, waste, work. You might add overload to that long list. The result is hyperactive, hyper-stressed, frantic and frenetic pace in life. The result is that people, instead of being an opportunity for ministry, become interruptions, intolerable intrusions, and interferences to our lives. The result is feeling like we're living bruised and battered, burnt out, longing for Jesus' peace. Can you relate to that? Somebody once said burning the candle at both ends doesn't make you brighter, it just means you burn out. It's true. In contrast to this, look at Jesus' model. Look at Jesus' example. Here in our story, especially in Mark chapter 1, says that evening, verses 32 and 33, that evening after sunset, after the sun went down, the whole town was still at the door. And Jesus continued healing many and casting out demons. He was avoiding the traps and temptations of ministry to the masses. Instead, he focused on the one that stood in front of him. Christ's priority was just the focus on the one in front of him, healing and helping one at a time, not mass marketing, billboard campaigns, media blitzes, and advertising the kingdom. It's tempting. But notice here in this passage it says Jesus got up very early in the morning and went off to a solitary place. Jesus, quiet time, went off to pray and spend quality time with our Heavenly Father, His Heavenly Father. Even Jesus needed time to restore His soul. Where are the green pastures? Where are the still waters to restore our souls? Even Jesus needed to restore His soul. Being fully God and fully human, the human side of Jesus, knowing His human limits, He took time to go off alone and be with the Father. Our pride, our arrogance, thinking that we're different, that we can extend the limits beyond our margins. Passage goes on to say the disciples found Jesus and said, "Everyone is looking for you." It's hard lots of times not to let others define your priorities and to set your boundaries to mark your margins. Jesus, instead, caving to the pressure, says, "Let's go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Jesus fully and completely understood and knew His calling. Jesus' focus was on being obedient to the Father and ministry to the one standing in front of Him. There were lots of people in the town, lots of people in the area, lots of people in the world that Jesus didn't heal. Think about that. He focused on the one, avoiding the trap of trying to be all things to all people all the time, all by yourself. I want to give you three practical steps to set your margins. Some of you may remember the old manual typewriters before the days of computers and word processors. You used to manually set the margins on your typewriter. And if you're writing a term paper that was to be accounted by the number of pages, right? You set the margins very wide so you'd have lots of space. And if it was going by the word or something, you'd say, okay, we can, right? First of all, the first step to set margins for your life, to build and grow bigger hearts, is to courageously concentrate. Courageously concentrate. Focus on God's calling for your time and your energy resources, personally, prayerfully. Prioritize what is God calling you to do. It's going to be different for each one of us. God is not calling us to be worried and hurried and harried. And any more than he had for Jesus. Do you remember that verse in the Bible where it says Jesus ran up to Capernaum to Jerusalem? Some of you have a Bible app on your phone. Look up the verse where it says Jesus ran from Capernaum. Or no, there's another verse. Jesus hurried from Bethesda to Bethany late for His lecture in the Mount of Olives. Remember that verse? No. It's not in there. Right? It's ridiculous. It's not in the Bible saying Jesus ran. Jesus hurried. Can you imagine Jesus getting a cell phone call in the middle of the Lord's Prayer? Can you imagine Jesus getting paged in the upper room as he was sharing communion? No. Jesus knew his calling, concentrated and focused his priorities accordingly. Our problem is our priorities are often unclear to us or even upside down. One look at our daily organizer, our day timer, or our checkbook can reveal our priorities. All too often, prayer gets squeezed out. Too often, family time takes a back seat. Every time I take a vacation, I re-examine my priorities and check to make sure that my schedules, my life reflects God first, family second, my ministry in the church third, and my personal interests fourth. I'm last. God is always first. How does that play out in your daily life schedule, time and energy resources? Courageously concentrate on God's call for you. Secondly, cultivate Christian contentment. We are driven. We are a driven people. Recognize and repent of what drives us beyond our margins. Discontentment with who we are, I gotta be better. Discontentment with what we have, I gotta get more. Overcommitment to try and impress people that we don't know by overextending, buying things we don't need with money we don't have. Dave Ramsey of Financial Peace University says that. How much do we as Americans, to impress people we don't know, spend money we don't have for what we don't need? The Apostle Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content in each and every situation. The peace of God that passes all understanding might guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. What a refreshing thought that is. Convinced that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Read Philippians 4 this afternoon before you watch the football game tonight. Well, anyhow, focus on God's promise of peace and consider how to cultivate Christian contentment. One more step, that is carefully, conscientiously unclutter. Unclutter. We had a great visual this morning of clutter on the altar. This week, find a way to unclutter your life in one area. Just pick one area. Pray and ask for God's guidance. There are different kinds of clutter. Space clutter, what we usually think of as clutter. Junk in your living room, workspace, attic, garage. Start collecting for the rummage sale in the spring. Plan for a yard sale. Clean off your desk. Space clutter. Schedule clutter. Too many things to do and never enough time. Schedule a personal quiet time. Schedule a day apart with the Lord, your personal Sabbath. Input clutter. Too many things to read, TV shows to watch, CDs to listen to. Cancel a subscription. Unplug the TV for a day. Wow, that's a radical thought, preacher. Responsibility clutter. Too many responsibilities, not enough delegation. Learn to just say no. I heard one church define no as a holy word. Think about that. Emotional clutter, too many worries, too many grudges held, too many blaming yourselves for things needlessly. Forgive an age-old offense and let go of a grudge. spiritual clutter, misconceptions that affect your relationship with God, your personal idols, your habitual sins. Turn and ask God's forgiveness. And hear Jesus say to you, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Be still and know that he is God. Find a solitary place, a refuge, a sanctuary to take your Sabbath. It's a command. Remember your Sabbath to keep it holy. And let the fullness of God's peace replace the clutter in your life. Be filled to all the fullness of God's love, that your heart may begin to grow again, to love God wholeheartedly, to love one another deeply from the heart. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this challenging countercultural example of Christ. Help us, Lord, to live wisely. Help us, Lord, to live according to your plan and purpose for our lives. Help us to see clearly what you are calling us to and what you're not calling us to. Help us to live at peace with you and with one another, with ever increasing capacities to love and worship you, and to show kindness and compassion to one another. Work in our hearts to enable us to live with love according to the margins that you set for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.